KBLA Talk 1580. I'm Dominique DePrima. The show is First Things First. We're about to get into some of that. That's what we're about to get into. So happy to welcome in my friend. She is a serial entrepreneur. She's a mom. She's a founder and owner of the only black woman-owned dispensary in Los Angeles. Gorilla Life RX. She's also the Gorilla Life drink. Y'all might remember that. Kika Keith, good morning.
Oh, good morning. So glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to see you on KBLA. It's first time on KBLA. We certainly talked many a time throughout this process of the legalization and licensing of cannabis in California. Mm-hmm. So welcome and congratulations to you.
Thank you. It's been a long road, and you've helped me traverse it, being able to spotlight and amplify what's happening to black people in particular in this cannabis legalization process. So I'm glad to be here.
You know, let's start with the good news. I like to do that because sometimes it's easy to start being mad and we forget to celebrate our victories. So you are finally licensed, and it was a long road. And amazingly, you are the only black woman licensed in Los Angeles, and the shop is called Gorilla Life RX.
Yeah, Gorilla RX Wellness Co. actually,
and
it is a subsidiary of Gorilla Life, and we are a wellness center, the first black woman owned to open up in Los Angeles, and there are those that are trailing the path right behind me, but it is a victory, Dominique, and it's you know, I'll go on the positive side that we finally got to this place and to be an example and a model, because so many of our people have been destroyed because of the war on drugs. And so then to have some joy in it, we call it the house the people built, because so many people fought and stood by me and supported to make sure that we opened this door to be able to provide wellness and education and cannabis to our community.
Well, okay, so you say a lot of people are following right behind, and one of the reasons for that is because you've helped them follow right behind. Like, we think of a competitive model, oh no, they're following behind. But you have been trying to kick down the doors for other licensees of color since day one, and providing workshops and providing information and helping walk them through and helping connect them with partners.
Yeah.
So you evidently do not have a scarcity mentality.
Not at all. And I believe with the social equity program in particular, those who participate have a moral obligation to help all of those that are around them in their community, whether it be a part of their workforce, whether it be a part of their community benefits, what they're doing with the money that they're making in this cannabis industry. Because black people can apply for a general license. You know, you don't have to apply for a social equity license. And so when you participate in this program, I do believe that you have a higher obligation, because so many of us are still locked up. So many of our children are in the foster care system because their parents were taken away from them. And so many of our brothers and sisters have died on these streets because of the war on drugs. So I really feel that there is an obligation to teach those around us, because the government ain't teaching us. The multi-state operators, the 81% of this industry that is made up of white men, they're not coming back and teaching us. And so it is our obligation that more than just myself cross that finish line, because this has historical implications. Never before have we been, as black people, able to be a part of any of these industries in this country, whether it be tobacco or cotton or alcohol. And so the fact that there's actually legislation that gives us priority, if we know some secrets, we better share with our people.
Right, because that legislation that gives us priority is just a joke if no one knows how to access it, utilize it, or if the bodies that are in charge of implementing it are lagging when it comes to the black community, who's clearly paid the highest price for the illegal use of cannabis for decades.
For decades. The cities across this country, New York is about to open up their legalized market, all up and down California. We just had to do a big press conference at the state. We organized social equity owners and workers in Fresno, Oakland, Sacramento, San Francisco, because we're all saying the same thing about the legal process and the policies and the lack of funding and support for a program that the voters voted on. We don't have it. And so we did get to the point that I'm tired of marching. I'm tired of complaining. Let's activate and build collectively and go back to what we know from Marcus Garvey of cooperative economics. And we're seeing some new legislation which will allow people to actually form co-ops where you don't have to go out for that investor, you know, that has a sharecropper deal for you to sign. We can actually pull our resources together and get these licenses.
Of course. We're going to continue this conversation. I mean, the reason these social equity policies exist where they do exist is because it's at least been acknowledged that Black people were over-arrested, over-prosecuted for using cannabis, and in even though we weren't the only ones using it, obviously. And so now we should have some leg up in getting the profits of it. What you just said, 81% of the industry is still white men.
Yes.
And we've seen some absurd things happening with these social equity licenses. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's interesting, though. You've got your victory. You've got your spot on Crenshaw, the
yes.
iconic Crenshaw strip, actually conveniently right across the street from KBLA. But I see you're not just doing a victory lap. You're continuing your fight for equity for others. And
yeah.
So we'll continue that conversation as we go forward. KBLA Talk 1580.
We know you have options, but thank you for making the best choice. The only station in LA of the people, by the people, for the people. We are unapologetically progressive. KBLA Talk 1580. Your ancestors' favorite radio station, and your favorite morning show host. Let's get back to Dominique DePrima right now.
Right now, indeed, I'm talking with Kika Keith. She is the owner of LA's only Black woman-owned dispensary. And I was in there not long ago, pretty recently. I said choice paralysis. I mean, you guys got stuff in there, like all different kinds of products. Talk about that, because you said this was part of your vision for Gorilla RX Wellness.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to pick who I wanted to partner with. And I chose a dispensary owner in San Diego. And when I went into his store, it felt like a candy store or like I was going into the vitamin section at Whole Foods. And I was so impressed. And I felt the same thing you felt when you walked into our store. And I was like, I want this. Coming from the food and beverage industry and natural foods at that, there's just something when you can go in and ask questions. And there's an array of products for every challenge or anything that you want to support in your body. And that's what I wanted, that experience to really be a wellness experience. And on top of that, having the largest supply of Black-owned brands and social equity brands, that was really important in the experience.
So when you say Black-owned brands, you're talking about the product itself that you're selling, the cannabis itself being Black-owned. And what is a social equity brand?
So a social equity brand, there are folks that have gotten licenses, once again, based on this prioritization. And so you have to get verified to be social equity. So it means you're low income, you come from these areas that have been most affected by the war on drugs, you've had a cannabis arrest or conviction. And so there's folks that have brands that they're bringing to the market. A Black woman brand, Dose of Saucy, she has a vinaigrette and a barbecue sauce. You have Dios.
That are cannabis infused.
All of these are cannabis infused edibles, flowers, pre-rolls. A Black woman in Los Angeles, Biko. She has an incredible flower line as well that's a hot seller in the dispensary. So, yeah, we really support, you know, we have so many products, over 2,000. in the store, beverages, concentrates, but we gave the black brands the prime position in the store. And we wanted to reverse that and really define social equity is to give an advantage to those that were disadvantaged, not just an opportunity, but give them an advantage in the marketplace. And so we deliberately highlight, because we have so many brands, I say no to so many other vendors. But if a black-owned brand comes into the store, we're moving somebody out for them to have space.
I love that. I mean, look, I always say that to me, that's part of recycling black dollars.
Yes.
If two candidates come in and they're equally qualified and one is black and one is not, that's a no-brainer.
Yes.
Buy black.
Yes.
Support black. I mean, every other community does it for themselves without announcing it.
Yes.
And we get mad about it instead of just practicing it ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and I did say choice paralysis. I mean, I walked in there, I was like, oh my goodness, I need a week to be in here. But that is good because, like you said, it's not just flour. There's ointments and salves and edibles and different kinds of medicinals. So you're like it's like recreational and healing rolled into, pun intended, rolled into one. Sorry.
It is. And that's how we have the experience. You get a personal bud tender when you walk into the door.
Bud tender, is that a thing?
You know.
Miles says it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. We like to say product specialist, but most people know them as bud tenders.
Okay.
But they walk you through the experience because you will have, you don't know.
Oh, the people in your store are so cute. You got all kinds of, you know, African Americans with different knowledge bases. They're really nice. I enjoyed it. And then, you know, I'm one of those people that kind of trips out when I go to a dispensary, any dispensary, because I don't have my mind around the fact that it's legal.
And we know this. And you and the elders in the community were my target market when the store was designed. I brought in a black woman to design the space, and I modeled it after my grandmother's house. Every time when we came up with the color schemes, I was like, this doesn't got to feel like my grandmom's house when you walk in. And every time, no matter who came into my grandmother's house of my friends, they always like, what is that feeling? And it was, she kept a Christmas tree up year round with colorful lights. And people just didn't know that every time it was sitting in the corner that it felt like Christmas. You just felt a natural joy and love. And we were so intentional from the design to the roller skating rink. There's a circle bar in the middle so that your experience is that you're going around in the circle, to the arches that were in there. We wanted it to be a very familial space so that you felt comfortable about getting educated about what your body needs, because most of us don't know. And most of us only, especially in our community, there is a big stigma because we've seen what it has done in our community. But then we don't understand, and we're not taking the benefits of all of the wonderful things that it does to our body and our systems. And so we really wanted you to come back again and again so that you started to feel comfortable. And we trained our bud tenders. We have a wellness advisor, Dejanay Evans, that comes in twice a week, that is really there just to educate you and answer your questions about all of the amazing uses, because there's something that we need each and every day that cannabis could really be an effective part of our daily use.
Which is not necessarily about being high, per se. Although, honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's tinctures, there's topicals. Those of us that are suffering from arthritis, and my aunt didn't ever think about cannabis, but she calls me every other month to get her topical to rub on her knees and her joints. You know, my daughter has migraines. There's people who are bipolar that take the tinctures to increase their dopamines in their system. So there's an amazing different uses, and it is not just about getting high at all.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
So, Kika, you know, we talk about social equity, and LA was sort of pioneering about, you know, putting this in place. But at the same time, we saw a lot of cheating the system. Reminds me of South Africa, where they said you have to have, you know, they had incentives for black owners. So there would be like a majority white owner who would get a black person to front for them.
Yeah.
We saw this with people calling themselves people of color or were on drugs affected that were, wait, last week you guys weren't classified as people of color.
Yeah.
Now you're people of color. We saw huge influxes of Armenian people, for example, who were getting into the cannabis, are getting into the cannabis space under social equity. We saw Latino people who were being used as cover for people that were not people of color that wanted to get into the industry, that were being paid off. People with deep pockets finding ways to exploit the social equity and once again cut black people out.
Yes.
Where are we with those things? I mean, is that still going on? You know, what obviously you got your license, but that's not the end of the battle, right?
Oh, man, no. There were, after we filed the lawsuit against the city of LA, like it got that bad. The corruption and deception and the miscarriage of justice, taking away a $10 million budget back in 2018 that was dedicated to social equity and put it over to police enforcement. So that uphill battle was real, and I see it unfolding in Chicago, unfolding in New York. And there was a point where we were just fighting and constantly down at City Hall, protesting at the mayor's office, talking about equity or war about it. And then there came a point where we were like, maybe this is a part of the trick. Like, we really need to focus on organizing ourselves, because historically that's always happened to us. And we realized that if we weren't ready, regardless of the fact that out of that top 100, you're right, 36 were Armenian. I don't feel that they were affected by the war on drugs when we're talking about disproportionate, not just the fact that you've been arrested for cannabis, but that you were disproportionately arrested. And as you said earlier, in the city of Los Angeles, we represent 9% of the population, but 40% of the cannabis arrests. And we were four times more likely than white people to get arrested. And so when you have those same disproportionate numbers, once you start giving out the licenses, and it is a shame to say that that I'm the first one to open up my doors. It still is a fight every day. There's a motion happening right today at 2 o'clock at the planning and land use that's out that has detrimental effects to social equity. We're seeing 3 years later, we are seeing finally, and we have a black director of the Department of Cannabis, and, you know, she's been bumped around, and I will say this is a brand new industry, right? So these regulations are newly developed. You have to implement them to see what's wrong. And I will say she put out some serious recommendations on Friday that are truly to benefit social equity. And it's what we've been fighting for 3 years. Having the equity share review happened at the beginning of the process. And what, like you said, there's sharecropper agreements, predatory investors, people that I know were going into the jungles to go in the hood, paying $1,000 to get people who qualify for social equity because they had a cannabis arrest. And these white folks were signing these horrible deals, and people were doing it because it was better than working at Foot Locker. And so now this new motion and recommendation that's on the table today really combats that. And so we're excited about the potential. We don't know if it will be voted into law, but people are recognizing. We've been yelling about it so long that we are seeing progress finally in these recent months. And so there is a lot of hope. And there are other black Josephine and Billy's is opening up on Martin Luther King, a black woman owned place. There's 64th and Hope, another black woman that's opening. Green Paradise on La Cienega, close to Pico, La Brea and Pico. Another black woman, Evelyn. And so there are those right behind me that are trailblazing. And so there is hope. And we want to be an example to say this is something worth fighting for.
Are you seeing evidence that the work of activists here in Southern California is impacting social equity agreements, deals, regulations in other cities?
Yes, I'm actually going to New York next week. This will be my second time in the past month. I've been to Chicago, and people are watching the news. Unfortunately, we've gotten a lot of press on this. They're listening to social media. And because we haven't stopped, that's the key. You know, we will wear shirts that said equity or war. And at first, the city council took that very offensively and thought we were inciting violence. And I said, if you look up the definition of war, it is a consistency to not stop the fight. And that's what we did. These 3 years, we have not stopped calling in. We have not stopped showing up. We have not stopped educating our community members. And we have finally caught up. And, you know, it's powerful. We are seeing a movement, and now we're seeing folks in these other cities know what to demand for before the regulations are already written. And we're going there and letting them know and educating them as well, because this is a historical moment.
That's really super important. I commend you on that, because we don't have to, that way we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time this comes up. And it's going to keep coming up, because eventually, in the not so distant future, cannabis is going to be legal on a national level. And we're going to go through this all over again, everywhere.
Yes, all over. And it's catching like wildfire. So those of us Black people better know this is something for you to invest in. If you have capital, if you have these convictions, if you fit the criteria, family members gather together. Because I wish I had my grandfather's alcohol license when he owned a hotel. You know, these things are, these are generational if you hold on to them. And they are of tremendous value. The cannabis industry and the workforce is the largest growing industry. This is something that's happening globally. And if we don't get these licenses, they end. And then it will be millions of dollars and we can never get in. So I say this is something for us to rally around.
I think that's real. I mean, think about, you know, the whole outlawing of liquor in this country and the illegal business which we participated in, and then when it becomes legal we get cut out. And this is these kind of windows of opportunity, they don't come along every day. There's not going to be another cannabis industry.
Let me tell you, that's what got me so interested. Assemblyman Reginald Jones Sawyer, Senator Steve Bradford, at the time Councilman Herb Wesson, would come into the community to the Vision Theater. And I never heard Black politicians. And my parents are very political. So growing up young, I've gone to rallies and everything with Black people. And I've never heard so many Black politicians in one place talk to Black people directly and say, Black people, this will be the last time for you to be a part of an industry in your lifetime. And they inspired so much hope back in 2017, encouraging us. I know a mother and a daughter that sold their inherited grandparents' home to get a commercial property in order to participate in this. And so it is something that we do need to recognize, that we do not want to get left out of it, because we will never have another time in our lifetime to be a part of a new industry.
And I think, you know, many people like yourself did invest, you know, invested in a piece of property that could become that dispensary. And had you not been so steadfast, that would have been money flushed down the toilet as more roadblocks and obstacles were put in front of you. And this is the part people don't think about. If I think I'm getting a license and I invest in a property and now you're delaying and delaying, I'm still paying that mortgage or that lease. And, you know, this is what distresses me, but also what makes me feel so glad for the progress that you're seeing, because I know some people won't make it across the finish line. They'll make that investment. They'll make those plans, and those dreams will be dashed. And that's why I'm so happy to see you taking the knowledge from this fight and sharing it with others in other communities, and the mindset of abundance. Meanwhile, though, I'm going to say Gorilla RX Wellness Company is on Crenshaw, in the heart of this historic Crenshaw district, and it's open now. And at this time, you are the only Black woman in Los Angeles with a dispensary that is licensed and fully up and running. We're going to talk more about that process and how people can get involved if they want to. It's not too late. It's KBLA Talk 1580. We are unapologetically progressive.
More of First Things First with Dominique DePrima when we come forward. History is now, and you are part of it. Thank you for spending your days with KBLA Talk 1580. Let's jump back into the conversation. We've got a lot to talk about.
And we're talking with Kika Keith, actually the owner at the moment of the only Black woman-owned dispensary in Los Angeles, Gorilla RX Wellness Co. Am I saying it right?
That's right.
You know, I'm still mixing it up with the Gorilla drink, which I loved so much. He had a green drink that was in Whole Foods and it went everywhere. But But now that is sort of put on hold while we do the dispensary thing, right?
Yeah, it's put on hold for a minute. My mom still makes gallons and does it, but it's on hold just for a minute. I actually came into this industry to do Gorilla RX was to be the infused beverage.
Ah.
So yeah, we're looking forward to bringing it back.
But your mom is your business partner.
Kind of in Gorilla Life. My daughter is one of my business partners with the dispensary.
So you guys have three generations going on in business. That's amazing. I love your mom. Shout out to Kika's mom.
Yeah.
But talk to me about those who haven't made it and you know, even the sacrifice for you. I mean, I imagine it would take you a while to catch up in terms of being profitable after the investment that you had to make to hold out to be able to get that license.
Yeah, that's so true. We incurred a lot of debt, you know, at $12,000 a month on an empty building. Is what we had to pay for those 2.5 years leading up to licensing. And yeah, you know, there's 200 folks that were granted this first round. Only 80, I believe, are in the licensing process. Only 20 of us are in position to open our doors currently. So there's 120 social equity applicants that even had the licensing opportunity in hand and have still not filed any paperwork for it because they've lost their properties, because they're at a standoff with these predatory investors that do not want to comply with the equity share agreements. And so they've been trapped. There are plenty more than those that of us have, that have made it, that are still struggling to be a part of it. And then on the brighter side, there's a whole nother round of 150 retail licenses, social equity, in which you have to have a cannabis conviction or arrest to apply, that are coming up next year. So there are still opportunities, but there are a lot of us who are still fighting to even get our doors open.
And for those who are thinking, well, maybe I'll get in on next year's licenses, or maybe I want to be part of this movement to help the people that are struggling trying to make it through the pipeline, whether they might be an attorney or some other effective activist, how can they connect with this movement?
We're very active. The Social Equity Owners and Workers Association that I co-founded, we're really active in the advocacy side. As I mentioned earlier, this current LA legislation process that's happening with social equity as we speak today. And then also Life Development Group, which is my original organization that I founded. And we focus on education and being a resource and a referral organization. And so if you have questions, if you're looking to get licensed, if you're looking to work in the industry, we provide resources and education on how to do that. You can go on the website and get a free consultation to really get your questions answered, to know which direction. But if you're going in the route of licensing, be prepared. I spend to this date 60% of my time on government relations. You really have to become a policy geek, and you can do it. I didn't know anything about this. You just have to read these policies and stay up on them, because that's how you design your business strategies. That's how you get investors, because you know the business. And right now, cannabis is a regulated business. It's not what has happened all these years before. And so being regulated is meaning policies and rules and regulations. And that's what we have to prepare ourselves to teach ourselves.
And so lifedevelopmentgroup.com?
.org.
.org. Lifedevelopmentgroup.org. And I guess from there, people can connect with the opportunities to protest, opportunities to agitate.
Yes.
Or to help in other ways.
Or to help in other ways. Be a part of it. Like you're saying, we need attorneys. We don't have technical assistance. We need architects. We need brand developers. You know, all of these things are required to put together an application. We need security professionals. And so when you have to pay for all of those expenses, you know, $10,000 for the architect, $7,000 for your security plan that goes in it. When you have all of these expenses, it makes it hard to get across the finish line. Then you need an investor early stages, and then that's when it all happens, the destruction happens. So if we had those in our community that had these talents that are ancillary to cannabis, these professional skills that can lend their expertise, then all of a sudden you get across the finish line, you have a license in hand, then you go raise money. And so there is a pathway for us, but it does take our community, especially those who are professionals, those who are in the real estate market. You have to have a property or at least permission to utilize that property. There's a lot of ways that we can collectively work together as a people and make it a simple process.
Mm. Yeah, well, and give thanks to those of you who had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
April from L.A. is on the phone. Good morning, April.
Good morning, both of you beautiful sisters. I am so happy to hear Kika on your show this morning, Dominique. I love the new space. It was beautiful watching it develop. And I told her that my daughter was probably going to become her best customer. I think I'm becoming the best customer, actually. So I love having y'all in the community. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you all. I love the customer service, the friendly atmosphere, and all the wonderful selections. I've even purchased things for my mother and her niece as well. I heard you talk about your aunt.
Yes.
So keep going. It is a beautiful, beautiful symbol of what collective work and responsibility and community support, you know, what we can do and what we can manifest. So I just want to say congratulations and welcome to the community.
Oh, man, April, thank you so much. And those words that I hear when I'm in the store from our people in our community is what makes the struggle minimal. And it is that joy that helps elevate us. And I love it. And thank you so much. And love hearing mothers that are bringing their daughters and sons that are bringing their moms and their grandmoms. And that's what it's all about. Thank you so much for your support, April.
Mm. Well, you know, when you say thank words of your customers, what are some of the kinds of things that folks are saying?
You know, I've had customers come in and say, I feel seen here. You know, I've gone into dispensaries where the people don't look like me and I walk around and I don't even feel seen. And then just like that, as April said, there are sons that are literally bringing their mothers in for the first time to come and experience it. I've had people come from London and Australia and get off the plane because they just want to be a part of the experience and the celebration, understanding the road that it took, that is so few of us, and they feel that when they're spending money and supporting it, that they're really being a part of something bigger than themselves. And I mean, it is expressed every day, and it's what keeps us fighting and making sure that there's so many more of us that are in this position.
Yeah, I'm glad people notice that and feel that because, you know, we spend so much money on cannabis. It's nice to be able to recycle those dollars with your store, but also with your suppliers, you know, your vendors. And I also think it is like a tourist location. I mean, if I have friends from out of town coming, I'm like, let's go to Gorilla because this is something you might not have. You might not have a Black-owned, fully legit licensed dispensary that you can go into that's got this incredible selection. And to me, it's part of a vibe because even though we're being gentrified in LA, like many major cities, Black people are opening businesses right and left. You know, we got Gorilla RX, the Metaphor Club, the Swift Cafe. All of a sudden it's like, oh, gentrify this.
What?
We are everywhere. And I love that because it gives me Maya Angelou's Still I Rise vibes.
I'm so glad you touched on gentrification because I grew up on 6th Avenue 42nd Street. And I raised my girls in this community. And, you know, the goal has been buy back the block. So I fought to keep that space for that reason, that this is my community. And I believe we always speak of gentrification. And when we think about it, white folks coming into our community. But how about we, Black people, go back and gentrify our blocks?
Buy the block. Yes, we'll continue on that note. I love that note. Kika Keith of Gorilla RX Wellness is with us on KBLA Talk 1580.
She's reclaiming her time on KBLA Talk 1580. More First Things First with Dominique DePrima when we come forward. We knew you'd stick around. This is LA's home for progressive talk radio.
Be heard.
Welcome back to KBLA Talk 1580.
We do have a lot to talk about, and I'm so glad to be talking about it. Kika Keith is the owner of Gorilla RX Wellness Company, all things cannabis, Black owned, talking about buying the block. We can continue that, but I want to make sure you don't get out of here without giving us the actual address, the physical address, but also the social media? Because you said that unlike many other businesses in the cannabis space, you're getting a lot of referrals by social media, word of mouth.
Oh, man. About 90% of our business is coming from social media. We went viral a couple times on Twitter and TikTok. Seth Rogen posted about us. And so, yeah, we that's not common in cannabis. And you'll see when you come, the unique design and the people you want to take pictures, people want to post about it. They post the brands that they're getting in the store. And so it is an experience. And that was very intentional. We wanted that. We never expected it would be this, but Gorilla RX Wellness is our Instagram page where we do give all the information about what we're doing.
And that's Gorilla like the animal.
Gorilla like the animal.
Gorilla like the fighter.
G-O-R-I-L-L-A. Yep.
Gorilla RX on
RX
IG.
Okay. Wellness on IG. I'm at Big Kika. I oftentimes give a lot of information in terms of the policies and educational side on my page. And I'm K-I-K-A, Big Kika. And then the store. We're at 4233 Crenshaw, right next to the historic Mavericks flat. They're right by the Baldwin Hills Mall. And, yeah, please come out. Check us out.
And tweet it. Text it.
Yeah.
Tell it. Yeah. By the way, while you're doing things on your phone, while you're following Big Kika and Gorilla RX Wellness,
yes.
Download the KBLA app, please, because that helps keep us relevant, as we are new to a space that has prohibited Black people from entering for a long time, too, which is a talk radio space. We understand that struggle, that battle to create a place where no place has been set for you at the table.
Yes, yes. That is a model that we want to show and show the success out of that model. And so we work hard every day. And we have a beautiful staff, too. When you come in there, you mentioned it earlier, and that's really key. We hire from our community.
Yeah, job creation.
Yeah,
hello.
Job creation, where then more than just me and my family is eating. And, you know, I originally started in the Baldwin Hills Mall with Sweet Strings, my music academy for inner city youth. And it has always been my quest to get that going again. And so I've been in almost 20 years of looking to have a for-profit that can help fund my nonprofit and community work. And so we have arrived here with Gorilla RX. And just so you know that when you're coming in and spending your money and you're enjoying the products, we are also building to get back to the arts and benefit the arts and youth in our community. So that's why we work so hard.
It's all part of the same mission.
Yes.
So when you were talking about buying the block, mm-hmm. you're not done.
Oh, no. No, we really want to be an example. We actually, there's a mural right at the next block at 43rd in Crenshaw. And there's a building there that we're looking to partner with one of the Black owners on the block. But you'll see the Black Women Get Us Higher. It's a campaign that we're running. And it's a beautiful mural that was done locally. And yeah, no, we're not done. This is a beginning. We're laying down the flag and putting down the stake in. And like you said earlier, we want to be an example. We should be like Melrose or Century City. And it should be Black businesses, a variety of them. Like you mentioned, Swift Cafe and the Metaphor Club. This is how we do, and we really want to elevate and show our Black excellence, and that's why we invested the way that we did in really being a display of what our blocks should look like.
When we continue this conversation, we'll just have a few minutes left with Kika Keith before we pass the mic to Tavis Smiley, and we're going to have some entrepreneurial inspirations, some cannabis inspirations. That is straight ahead. KBLA Talk 1580.
Thanks for waking up with Dominique DePrima on KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm talking with Kika Keefe, Big Kika, as she's affectionately known. You got the brace, the necklace on. And Gorilla RX Wellness Company is a dispensary. It's right here on Crenshaw. I love the fact that you're planning to continue buying the block. It's at 4233 Crenshaw. Gorilla RX Wellness on Instagram, or Big Kika on Instagram, K-I-K-A, is where you can track them. And if you're looking to be an activist in the space or even an entrepreneur yourself, lifedevelopmentgroup.org, lifedevelopmentgroup.org. That'll be a portal into many different opportunities. So what is your inspiration, or what inspiration would you like to share to the would-be entrepreneurs and innovators in the cannabis space?
My biggest source of inspiration or words of advice is that this has to be a collective effort. This cannot be a self effort. And from putting together little book clubs and study groups to learn the regulations, to understanding that we have a voice, we have won policies, we've had policies amended, we've pushed to get $50 million additional at the state level because we organize, and it does not take a lot of folks, but it does take more than one. And if there was anything that we fought for, there's enough revenue that is generated from cannabis to provide for your own family's generational wealth, but also give back to the community. And there's very few industries that we have the ability to be a part of. And so since it's brand new, nobody knows these laws and regulations. I'm sitting at the table, whether it be the mayor or lawyers or consultants, because I studied, I know the exact same thing that they have. This is brand new, and it's a great opportunity, and it's something that we all need to collectively work together on.
And we have, you know, a KBLA delegation is in many cities all
yes.
over this country. People are listening on the app, which I love, a KBLA
yes.
1580. It's free. And so if you're in a city like New York that's mm-hmm. new to this space or that sees this coming down the pike, I recommend you reach out to Kika. I've been watching the work, the advocacy, the activism, and the studying that's been going on and the educating. So don't reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
Get with the Black people that have already got a head start, that have already gone through those hard knocks, so that you can benefit from their experience, because this is a rare moment, an opportunity to build generational wealth. No, you know, no matter how you feel about you know, cannabis or whatever, you might want to look into it, because we do not want to be on the outside looking uh-huh. in once again.
No, and that is my calling and my obligation. We share, and I got a whole team. It's not just me. So I have a team of folks that come with the same passion and commitment to share, because we care and love, and we know this is something that can help elevate our communities.
Kika, big Kika Keep,
yes.
and the entire Gorilla RX Wellness family, thank you.
Thank you, Dominique.
I always leave us with a quote before I pass the mic to Tavis Smiley. I'm going to leave us with a quote from Bob Marley today. He says, "None but ourselves can free our minds." News and traffic is next. After that, it is Tavis Smiley. He's got a full lineup of illuminating interviews for you, as always. I'm Dominique DePrima. History is now, and we are making it together. Until tomorrow, one love.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.